Professor Wolfgang Preisser is the head of division of the medical virology at Stellenbosch University. Joins me on the line now. Professor, good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
I went to a clinic a couple of days ago for my discovery health check. It happens every couple of years. And the patient behind me or after me was somebody who wanted to come in for their flu shot. And there wasn't any available on the day. And they were invited to come at another time, another day when they would be available. And it left me with the question, going for a regular flu shot, which many of us take ahead of a winter season in Cape Town, will that help at all with COVID-19?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, and I'm glad that you saw somebody who was already trying to get it. The flu vaccine for the forthcoming season is started to arrive, so I think as the next weeks will pass, more and more of it will become available. So hopefully next time the gentleman or lady will go, they will get it. It is actually an excellent idea. No, it does not protect against the new coronavirus, very obviously, but it has other advantages. So firstly, we are heading for our influenza season, and every year, you know, there's a more or less pronounced peak in cases. And as we are also bracing for the arrival of the coronavirus in our communities, we want to keep the workload in health facilities as low as possible. So the fewer people will come down with influenza and need health care, the better, because the more time and effort can be expanded on the coronavirus cases that we, I'm afraid, have to expect to arrive. The second advantage would be that the symptoms and signs of influenza infection are very similar to those of coronavirus infection. So it's basically a fever, it's a respiratory tract infection. You know, it's these typical hallmarks. We all know it because we all have had it, and we have family and friends who have had it. And it's basically indistinguishable unless you have a test. So as we are now expecting coronavirus to arrive, if you come down with influenza, you will have to be investigated also for coronavirus infection. So if you don't come down with influenza, all the better. Thirdly, among the groups for whom it is recommended are the healthcare workers. And unfortunately, the healthcare workers are notoriously bad at making use of this. So there's a low rate of uptake in this community. And that is not unique to South Africa. That is the same around the world. But it's a missed opportunity because, I mean, who is going to be exposed? Of course, it's the healthcare workers. And who is also exposing other patients? It's the healthcare workers. So we really want to plead to the healthcare workers, to our colleagues, and that is, includes us in the laboratories, please get vaccinated this year against influenza. We need all hands on deck. We want you to be healthy because we are bracing for an onslaught of cases of coronavirus infection. And then after all, of course, influenza in its own right, and that tends to get forgotten, is estimated to cause an additional 12,000 deaths every influenza season in South Africa alone. So that's a massive number of human suffering and death, and that can be largely avoided by using the vaccine. So I think there's many arguments, and some of them have to do with the coronavirus, but even outside the coronavirus pandemic, influenza vaccination is a good idea.
Let me ask this follow-up question then, Wolfgang. The patient in question was a lady, and she was an elderly lady, and we know that anyone older than 60 is generally, you know.
Absolutely.
They are high, I don't know what you call it in medical terms. But I also have noted and read that the majority of people who've been infected with the coronavirus, certainly in South Africa, from the 202, generally are males. Upwards of 70% of them, in fact, have been males. So should males generally, as well as people older than 60, rush to the clinics and get that flu vaccine?
Yeah, there are certain groups of people, and that includes the elderly, and that includes everybody with a chronic illness, and healthcare workers for occupational reasons are among the groups for whom influenza virus, influenza infection is recommended. The reason that we have seen so many males is that, you know, the population and also the age distribution of coronavirus cases that we've seen so far, the first 200 cases, the vast majority of these were people who acquired the infection abroad. So that rather reflects the people who travel a lot and who got now exposed and infected when they were traveling overseas. That will change. They are just very recently, the first American analysis has appeared, and they showed that the risk of developing severe disease and of dying from influenza virus rises dramatically with age. So basically, they haven't seen a single death in kids, and they have seen a substantial mortality of 10% or so. I don't know, I have it exactly in my head, but a relatively high mortality in people above the age of 70 or 75. So it's the same risk group, and it's these people who are also very vulnerable against influenza. So please, at least try and avoid influenza. And as regards coronavirus, there's only distancing. But I'm sure we will see that change. And otherwise, the healthy younger individuals who fall outside the category for whom influenza infection is recommended, they are also included in the guidelines. They might have to pay for it themselves, or it is their medical aid that will pay, but not in the public sector. It is recommended for anybody, but it's only certain risk groups and occupational categories for whom the influenza vaccination will be free.
I suppose what we should expect is that because we are now going into our winter, and we are through self-isolation, and hopefully many, if not all, South Africans heeding the instructions from government and advice from healthcare professionals to self-isolate and to minimize travel as much as possible, or, you know, contact with another person and so forth. We are going to flatline that distribution of the virus, which means that the health system will be able to really meet the demand on it. That will be extraordinary, of course, should the coronavirus be allowed to get out of control. But unfortunately, it means that we'll probably have a long period of coronavirus in our system, aren't we? Because of winter coming and the general influenza season that comes with that.
You're absolutely right. The buzzword is flattening the curve. So if you look at the time axis and you imagine this infection arriving and then taking off with community transmission here in South Africa, as it has in other countries already, you know, there could be an enormous peak because it is quite contagious. It passes very easily unless people take precautions, and this is behind all those very stringent measures. I mean, our lives are being turned upside down at the moment, but it's for a good reason, because we cannot afford to have such an enormous load of illness, and including very severe illness. Up to 15-20% of people will really require hospital care, including intensive care. We can't afford that, because the health system is going to buckle under it. So the whole purpose of all these measures is to flatten the curve, to stretch it out, but it means it will run for longer. And I think that's a sad reality. I think we have two pluses in our favor in South Africa. I think President Ramaphosa really showed leadership when he made this announcement last weekend. And we are relatively early in our local course of this pandemic. If you compare this to other countries who acted very late, including the United States, you know, I mean, they sat on transmission and big outbreaks and did nothing for weeks. So our government is ahead of the curve somewhat, but it's not going to keep it away. It's only going to help mitigate it. And secondly, we are behind in our course many other countries. So we can observe closely and watch what is working there and what is not, and hopefully then adjust. So we will learn a lot, because the others are a few weeks ahead, and whatever happens there and however something works or doesn't, we can learn from that.
Professor, before I let you go, a quick question from Jackie in Langeban. Jackie, your question for the professor. Good morning.
Hi, hello, good morning. Thank you very much. The pneumococcal vaccine, is it a good idea to have that? I know that COVID-19 actually give you get a pneumonia as such.
Yeah.
Would actually going for pneumococcal vaccine,
definitely,
is that a good idea?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. It's a very good idea. In fact, for the groups for whom the pneumococcal vaccine is recommended, that should also be done. It is something that I forgot to mention, but you're absolutely correct. For those who fall under the category for whom the pneumococcal vaccine is advised, please remember getting both.
Jackie, thank you for that question. And Professor, thank you for your time this morning.
Great. pleasure. Thank you.
Professor Wolfgang Preisser, Head of Division of the Medical Virology at Stellenbosch University.